Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Entrance of your word giveth light and understanding. Abalakata prendega de balakato Kerandas kalapradiska de bahashala bakaradosia Embratege de gelekata bradas kalapos Embragada barakatos kalaprendega de balaraba Rakata baroda sada blendega de brahasada balakata Shabarun sada balash Ekata brandesega de balarabos Spirit of the living God, we hand over this service to you. We submit to your wisdom and we thank you in advance for the liftings. Thank you in advance for the open doors. Thank you in advance for the growth. Thank you in advance for the mighty things that you will do in and through us and for us. We give you the glory and we declare that Jesus alone be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Please be seated. God bless you. Good evening, everybody. Bless all of us who are worshiping with us for the first time. Please pick up your notes. Let's get to the word. We have a lot to do tonight. The word of God comes to build us, to grant us spiritual realities and to activate possibilities in our lives. I continue to pray that we all cultivate a passion for the Word of God. The Word of God is a blessing. The Word of God is not a burden. And the understanding of it is the secret behind the exploits of great men. Praise the Lord. I took out time to pray over tonight's teaching because I believe with all my heart that it will help us in no small way and it will build us. I remain committed to teaching us the truths that will strategically build us first in the knowledge of the Lord and then to cause our experience on this earth spiritually and in all wise to be efficient. Praise the Lord. And so this is one of those teachings tonight. It's a very personal teaching to me. And I pray in Jesus' name that we'll place value on it. In Jesus' name. If you understand what I'm teaching you tonight, then you will be able to maximize the prophetic word for the year, to be fruitful, to multiply, and that your life becomes a representation of the possibilities that are resident within the Christ. Is it too much if we pray again for an opening of our understanding? Please lift your voice and pray. Never get tired of crying before the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Growth systems. Growth systems. Tonight, I'm sharing with us the word of God, kingdom strategies for unstoppable growth first in our spiritual lives, and then over every other aspect of our lives, growth systems. It is God's desire from His word that believers excel. It's God's desire that we be fruitful. It's God's desire that we experience the fullness of the life of Christ. But knowing God's desire is not enough. We must sustain the requisite knowledge and understanding to make the truth a reality in our lives. And so I want to go straight to the point. There is a lot to teach, and I want us to also pray. Hallelujah. There are systems allocated in the kingdom. You will notice that many times I teach you on methodologies, systems. The reason is because that is how God's design is. God is a God of systems. God is systemic in His approach. The moment you encounter His person, then you have to learn of His ways, His methodology, the way He operates. This camera that this gentleman is using operates based on a system. And if you do not know how to use the camera, even if you are given the camera, it is useless. The Zoe life that is given is activated through understanding. We've taught it again and again. And so I'm going to be sharing with us very unstoppable principles. Let me say this, maybe. Please, I want you to believe the truths that you are taught in this place. I want you to trust the validity of the spiritual information that you are given in this place. You are not being taught cunningly devised fables. And just because not every part of the teaching may be reflecting its result yet in your life, it doesn't mean it is not truth. Are we together? Let me tell you sincerely, you will spend the rest of your life in thanksgiving when you see the fruit of these truths that you learn begin to unfold. I told you that it is the pursuit and the knowledge of God that is infinite. The principles that make for the excelling of the saints on earth is finite. There is an exact body of spiritual knowledge that you can hold on to as the keys to your excelling on earth. It doesn't mean you stop learning. It just means that you learn from a higher pedestal. It took me a long time to realize that the truths that make for greatness in the kingdom are finite. It was so comforting to know that you can actually exhaust that curriculum, not in your lifetime, within a few years, so that what you are left with is exploring the Christ, not learning to rise to be great again. If you convince yourself that you spend a lifetime learning the principles that make for your greatness, then you have failed. Every student gets into school having an idea of the course content allocated. Doesn't mean he stops learning, but a day can come you would have covered that body of knowledge and you are certified. So although you are learning, you are no longer learning as a student, or at least as an undergraduate. This is what God is helping us do. The second thing I want you to know is that these are not the opinions of men. It will be terrible if the things that I teach you are opinions. Opinions fail. They are largely emotional. They are products of limited experiences. But these are truths that are backed by God's own integrity. They have been vetted through decades and centuries. They are not just the fabrication of a man's idea. Please understand this. These truths are not Joshua Selman's idea. I didn't invent them. I was only shown. You can be a very sincere believer You can be a very honest, well-meaning believer, but because of a fault or a default in your foundation, you will find out that all of the structures you are attempting to build cannot stand. And there are times that God does not only need to correct the structure, he needs to go back to the foundation. Are we together? And correct many things. Philosophies and belief systems that were built by sincere preachers, sincere denominations, men and women who love God with all their heart, but were also limited in their understanding. Many of us come from churches, we come from denominations, we come from Christian backgrounds and maybe other religious backgrounds, and those who got us saved and began our spiritual journeys, they were sincere people, but they gave us what they knew to be the combination for balance and efficiency. And many of us, that was where our challenges started. Till today, there are certain things you cannot receive because an information was captured in your foundation that stops that building from lying balanced, or an insufficient information from your foundation. Foundations are very important. Very, very important. In Luke chapter 6, we'll read a lot of scriptures. Luke chapter 6, we'll start from 47 to 49. Jesus himself was teaching. I love the teaching ministry of Jesus. Very balanced, very concise, very applicable truths of the kingdom. Jesus himself was teaching about foundations. The wisdom of men is not necessarily determined by the kind of structure, but the kind of foundation. Jesus spoke about buildings. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you who he is like. Look at the picture now. He is like a man which built a house. And what? Please talk to me. Look at how this man is building his foundation. Dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. The next verse. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. Wow. He built on sand, and the Bible says he doesn't have foundation. There was no digging. There was only building. The first guy dug downwards first so that he will dig up, he will build upwards. The second guy just saw plain land and started building on it. Is that not how many people were trained? There was no place to dig and create a very solid spiritual foundation. And the Bible says that when the storm came and beat vehemently, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Foundations. 1 Kings chapter 6, I found two powerful scriptures that blessed me in no small way. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 37, then we'll go to verse 7, 9 and 10. 1 Kings 6, 37. This is Solomon. The Bible is giving us the details of the building of the temple of Solomon. And the Bible says, in the fourth year was the foundation. Even the house of the Lord needed foundations. It says it was laid in the Mount Ziph. Solid structure. The foundation was laid upon a mount, not just on sand. Chapter 7 and 9 and 10. Chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7. All these, still talking about the foundation, all these were of costly stones according to the measures of the huge stones, sawed with saws within and without, even from the foundation unto the coping, and so on the outside towards the great court. Verse 10. And the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. This is how the foundation of the temple was built. Unshakable. A lot was invested in that foundation because of the kind of structure that will be built. Foundations are very important. The beauty of any Christian life is not just predicated on the knowledge that you continue to add, but the level, the quality of spiritual foundation that you have. Every Christian life has pillars. There are spiritual convictions that represent the core of your belief system, taught through mentorship, taught through your personal study, taught through the dimensions of encounters that you've had. Regardless of how it came, it is important to make sure that those foundations are true, are valid, and are correct, because you can build a structure on a faulty foundation or on no foundation at all. If you got born again under a man who did not appreciate the ministry of prayer, listen carefully. It is possible that in your foundational teachings, he will tell you being filled with the Holy Spirit is not necessary. Now, he's not evil. Are we together now? This is your foundation. And you are told that the only thing to do is just go to church, be a nice Christian, read your Bible, get a devotional, and that's all right. You received it sincerely, and that became the reason behind the weak spirit man that you have. Not because you are bad, not because the pastor or the mentor was bad, but they invested their limitations upon your life, and your life became a reflection of their biases and their limitations. Are we together? Someone else, if you got born again under a very strong prayer ministry that didn't have respect and regard for the truths of the word, chances were that the moment you got born again, you prayed your way into the realms of visions and the prophetic, and never had a need to appreciate the word. The grace to sit with the word and learn the ways of God was not there. If you got born again under, please permit me to use the word, a conservative, legalistic spiritual structure, there will usually be no appetite to know God and encounters. When you hear things like encounters, you can just say, well, what do you mean encounters? All I need to do is to perform the requisite sacraments that the Bible demands. Church, tithes, offerings, communion, baptism, etc. And on the strength of those rituals, you can convince yourself that they are equivalent to spiritual growth. Faulty foundations. Christ must be the pillar, the foundation of every man. Do you know it's amazing that many believers, they cannot exactly articulate their salvation experience. They just know that they were around the things of God, and eventually they migrated themselves into the system of church, and that's as far as they can know. That's very dangerous. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 10 to 11. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given to me, Paul is speaking now, as a what? Wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builded thereon, but let every man take heed how he builded. 11. He said, for no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. It matters how you were introduced into the kingdom. There are people who were introduced into the kingdom through giving, not salvation. Giving. They gave their way into Christianity. They never truly surrendered their life and received the life of God. Others were there through sitting and just listening to different teachings, and they say, you've been here for 5 years, be a deacon, then later be a pastor, then later be a church member. It's amazing how many people have routed their ways into church and into spirituality. In fact, others started as a switch from tradition and Christianity. Small tradition here, small Christianity here. And they were told, based on their traditional beliefs, that whether it's Jesus or is that deity, the only difference is that they should just make sure that God is glorified. And that was the template. So as they are born again today, they don't believe there is one God. They don't believe Jesus is the only person. And when situations press them, while Jesus is sleeping, they wake another one before he wakes up. Foundations. They will find nothing offensive in mixing Christianity and tradition. All sorts of arrows in their house. Physical arrows, not demonic arrows. With charms and numbers and names written. There are many people, when you go to their houses, you will see a Bible, you will see books on Scientology, you will see books on Zodiac, books on the constellation and everything. And their concept of Christianity, listen very carefully, is that God is the highest divine power. Just like Buddha, just like other gods. They are transcendental masters. It is just the ignorance of men that groups them into what we call religion, so they say. So when you come and you talk to them about Jesus, they say, I believe in Jesus, and I'm yes. Do you now believe in my own God? You say no, and they say, oh, you're making a mistake. They are all related. It's like loving me and hating a Jimmy, or loving, we are all the same family, and that's not true. Impossible. There is no other name under heaven. Not there is no other person, there is no other name, no other office under heaven given to man by which men must be saved. No other name. The name of a pastor cannot save a man. The name of a denomination cannot save a man. Please listen very carefully. The name of a business cannot save a man. Prosperity cannot save a man. Giving does not save a man. Fasting does not save a man. There is no other name under heaven. You will think what I'm saying is very simple until you find out many people. You see, when you come into a house, it is only good to know who the father is. There are many men in that house. There are those walking. There are relatives. Any wise man will say, please, who is the owner of this house? So that when I wake up in the morning, I'm not confused on who to greet. I need to know who has the power to drive me out of this compound. I can't generalize and say just because there are able-bodied men, any one of them can receive the same kind of greeting. No, some men are gate men. It's not an insult. Some men are chefs. They are bigger than the owner, but the owner is still the owner. Just because the owner is humble does not mean he's not the owner. You receive a life that you do not know the owner. You hang around a system that you do not know the owner. Faulty foundations. Usually this kind of foundation will produce a need-driven Christian. The entire scope of your Christian experience is what to get. This is, you hear me say it, and I don't mean to be sarcastic. For many believers, the only purpose of faith is to get things. That's it. Every teaching of faith is taught as a mechanism to extract spiritual things or to convert spiritual things. So all kinds of lusts and carnality emanate from that kind of aberrated foundation. Again, remember, we're not talking of good or bad people here. We're talking about the opportunity to have received truth or otherwise. There is no other name under heaven. There are people, the moment they were born again, the next thing they were taught about was prosperity. Very destructive foundation. You don't get someone born again and the next thing you are teaching is cars and houses. No. Cars and houses and prosperity is important, but there is a level of growth that is required
for that teaching to now profit the person. You don't teach anything to any believer at any time and say it does not matter. The construction has to be systemic. Are we together now? Yeah. So you ask an average believer, give me a rundown. If I get born again, mention the 7 major doctrines I should focus on. They can't tell you. They will just say, just give your life to Christ, find out your talent, find out whether you are a musician. If you're a musician, join a prayer band, join a worship team. If you're a prayer warrior, join this. If you're a prophet, hang around and be faithful, serve the man of God. One day you'll be and you see, all these kinds of things is dangerous. There are people who get born again and in less than 1 month they have been ordained as pastors just because of the impact of their salvation experience. They started prophesying and seeing visions, and the man said, this is a potential branch pastor. And the next thing, oil is poured on his head. Now he becomes a man of God, and there are gaps in his knowledge. Is God speaking to us? There are people who got born again, and the next thing they had was love. What did they hear? Love. Not love of God. Love of fellowship, brethren, relationship, marriage. What kind of a teaching is that? As soon as you are born again, the next thing, instead of you to see God, you are seeing men or women and you're already calculating. 19 years, you are thinking already, I will have 5 children, 4 children. Because that, I'm not saying the preachers of this thing are wrong. I'm just trying to arrange. We're discussing growth systems. Are we together? So instead of that individual to be pressing towards God, the only thing, you come for prayer, you come for worship, you come and you are looking around. Who is looking at me? Who is a potential suitor? Who is a potential, you know, all kinds of things. And then you don't grow. There are even people, because of that kind of teaching, they can't pray in tongues lest they not look fine because of the aggression that prayer brings. So they pray with a level, and you see that their spirit man is as lean as whatever. They can't receive. Speak and they will not speak because they are aware. Something has been activated that had no business being activated. There are people who get born again and the next thing, pressure is put on them to produce results with their faith. Are we together now? And they don't learn that there is a law of process in spiritual growth. In 2 weeks they want to get a car, in 2 weeks they want to build a house, in 2 weeks they want to start wearing suits like the men of God to prove that their faith is working. And to the degree to which they bring physical results, they are accredited by structures that have been set to show they are growing. So many people will go so far to borrow suits, borrow shoe, borrow everything, and bring a regalia that shows that the word is working. You don't like me this night? It's too early. There's a lot to talk about. This is just on point one. It matters your spiritual foundation. It matters how it was laid. It matters. The value you have for the word today is largely a reflection of the value the person who saved and mentored you showed you he had over the word. There were people who every time you came to their office, you would see them studying. And it's not like you really like the word, but they challenge you and you just carried your Bible. You know, people don't buy Strong's Concordance again. People don't buy Dix. Gone are the days of Dix. I mean, nobody even talks Dix. Just find a simple, clear translation and it's all right. No appetite for spiritual growth. Your spiritual foundation is what will support you in the days that come. Your spiritual foundation is what will support you in the days when it looks like the word of God is not working. Listen carefully. The Bible says, Jesus himself speaking said, the wind came, the rain came on the structure and his foundation. I tell you why a lot of people continue to curse God on his face. Lord, if you are God, why am I still barren? If you are God, why am I this? Why did I lose a loved one? There is no difference between loving God and not even, I hate all of this. I prayed and prayed and prayed that I will not go to the hospital, but I still went. Lord, you are not faithful. Something about your foundation, something about God may have been wrongly taught you. Because let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, when your foundation is solid, the rains will come, everything will come. When it lifts, you will stand. Stand strong and stand solid. Job was a man whose foundation was tested. I'm not bringing a theological debate as to the basis of Job's predicament, but Job got to a point in his life. Do you know what it means to lose all your children in one day? Comma, lose all your possession in one day. Lose everything in one day. His friends left him. One friend left you, you are almost dying. Now here is a man, almost all his friends left him. And then in addition to that, his body was challenged with sores from head to toe. And Job sat down. Frustrated. The wife, frustrated. The three friends came. They looked at him. After 7 days, they had a discussion and left. Job was left alone. I wish I would tell you that life will never test your foundation. My precious people, I wish I would tell you that you will never have any cause to thank God for your stability. But you will. You will. People have lost loved ones and didn't know what to say. They checked their Bible from Genesis to Revelation and could not find a scripture that will help explain. What do you do when your life is a contrast of what is written? What do you do when you have exhausted your obedience and everything you know to do, yet the results refuse to change? Listen to me. I teach you the power of spiritual foundations. What do you do when the more you pray, the more you engage, it looks like darkness continues to rise? What do you do when you give all that you have and yet you do not have food to eat? What do you do when your enemies continue to excel and you keep going down? What do you do when you pray and fast and you're a man of God who loves your people with all their heart and the church continues to reduce? What do you do when you raise your children with the word of God? You teach them the ways of God and then they become teenagers and go haywire. You were not a rebel. You taught them well. You prayed for them. You laid hands on them. You fasted, but every one of them made their choice. I've chosen my life, and God is not part of the choice. And society looks at you and they say, oh dear, you are a failed father. You are a failed mother. You are a failed pastor. What do you do when men cannot understand what is happening in your life? What do you do when you cannot understand what is happening in your life? Listen very carefully. I show you the way of strength, foundations. This is where men are separated from boys. It's not the building, it's the foundation. What do you do when you have fasted again and again and again and again and again and you cannot take in? Every man of God has prayed for you. Joshua Selman prayed for you. Every man of God you honor prayed for you. Prophecies continue to come. Months become years. Years become decades. And not one child will come. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, I will never curse him with my mouth. I show you how to be solid. Many believers are weak. At everything that shakes them, they curse God, curse men of God, curse Christianity. A pastor gets ordained in ministry with the hope that he will receive 50,000 or 100,000 as support from missionaries. And something happens and he does not receive that support. After 4 or 5 years, he tells his wife, look, it was never ministry. Remember, my plan was to start a poultry. It's just that they called me and said, let me come and work for God. And now, since this salary is not coming, God, you and your scam, get out of my life. They leave God. Didn't it happen to the disciples? Jesus is gone. On the cross, they didn't hear anything again. Peter said, I go a fishing. The rest say, we go with you. Let's go. Let's go back and leave this guy. When Joseph was in that prison, sitting quietly, meditating on his dream and watching the noisemakers, everybody explaining why he entered the prison. I came here because I stole. I came here because I annoyed the king. I didn't make his grape juice well, and he drove me into this prison. And Joseph sits down. What happens when your innocence takes you to prison? Innocence will not always take you to the throne. Ask Mandela. It may always take you to the prison. What happens when you obeyed God and gave that house? God said, sold the house. You had God. You sold the house and thought in 2 months a blessing will come. In 5 years, you are still roaming around squatting. And you have become a testimony. You have become an example to warn many believers. Every time they are talking about not hearing God, you are the sample they use. They say, don't be confused and don't subject yourself to divination like this man. Whereas you are there and you say, God, didn't you speak? And that's the only time you hear him. I spoke. So what else, oh God? He doesn't see a reason to talk. I've taught you that when God is silent, he is speaking. Foundations are powerful. The days that come will require men and women, not just men who have results, but men who have foundation. If your strength is in your car, your certificate, your ministry, Koinonia, Joshua Selman, connections, you will never be able to stand. A point will come in your life, you will find out that everything that is not Jesus is like a shadow. It's true. It's difficult. The deception of things can make you think they can stand with him. A time will come when you sit down and you look at life from the eyes of an elder and you say, in this life, the only thing that matters, of reading many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the soul. There is no other foundation than Christ. I know he will bless me, but what happens if he does not bless me? I know he gives children, but what happens if his child does not come? I know he gives prosperity, but what happens if I do not prosper? I trusted him and I saw a vision that my uncle would not die. Even when my uncle died, I was sleeping and I saw his spirit. And I saw that he would come back to life. And I came back with a group of prayer warriors, you may be thinking. And we prayed for him and he did not come back to life. What happens when it looks like you have episodes of negative events, things that negate scripture? Do you have the stamina to still trust God? Or will you get distracted and your entire life is now trusting God for answers? That you get to a point where you are so matured and you say, Lord, I'm never going to discuss these issues. My love for you is bigger than them. I trust you so much. Let's continue the training as if I'm not in the midst of fire. And God says, what kind of brand are you?
You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. Hey, you have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love.
Sing it from the depth of your heart.
Lord, you have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love.
Hallelujah. that a time comes when all your notebooks have become full and not one of what God said has come to pass. You are just writing. He keeps waking you every night as if he's fulfilling everything. Keep writing. In that book you wrote that you should have gone to your permanent site. In that book you wrote that you should have had 500 members. And after 5-10 years, you still have 70 members. You have gone for every conference. You are not a rebel. Your heart is opened. What happens? Everybody say foundation. This is it. The strength of your foundation. While the winds blow, heaven is watching. Let's see what happens. Now all of a sudden they see the prayer warrior turn to God and say, Lord, let me tell you, I really hate you. Take this from me. Make sure the angels take it to the throne room. I hate you. Get out of my life and let me have my life back. God says, I love you, but I respect your will. You've made your choice. Ah, but there are others. With no result, you say, Lord, you say I don't have result. Are you not everything? Every other thing is an addition. I cannot cry when I have you, because you are everything to me. Listen, you must get to a point where this is no longer a sermon, but it is true. I vowed a vow in my life that I will never get to a point in my life where I'll be offended in God. I will never get to a point in my life where results or no results control my hunger and my love for God. No. Too small a reason. If God never blesses me in this life again, I owe him my allegiance and my love forever. Can I tell you this? You may not have anything human beings call success. Truly speaking, let me tell you, if you have Jesus, you really have everything. It's just that the world may not see it that way, but you are rich in Christ. This is what I've learned. In my little life, I've seen the vanity of anything at all. Life is truly like a vapor. 5 minutes without your breath, you are in a coffin. Your estate is still standing, but you are gone. Every other thing is still standing, but you are gone. Gone and gone for good. The Lord wants to correct foundations. Who told you that if God does not bless you, he is not God? Where did you learn that from? Whoever told you that the primary reason to serve God is so that you will get a husband and a wife and a breakthrough and a job? I'm not saying it's wrong, but whoever told you that God works with people based on contract? Lord, I want to work for you, but here is my condition. Make sure my wife comes before December. Make sure my husband comes before January. Make sure my appointment letter comes by next week. Except you are not God, it doesn't come. And God says, you've gone too far. Gone too far. God remains God. Doesn't matter what happens. Did you hear what I said? God remains God. It doesn't matter what happens. He said, let God be true and all men and all situations liars. Can you lift your voice where you are and say, Lord, may I never leave you for anything in this life. Let nothing in this life bring me to a point where I call you unfaithful. Let nothing in this life bring me to a point where I have reasons to probe your integrity. Not my results, not my failures, not my limitations. Too small a reason. You stand in majesty in a class all by yourself. My results have no authorization to validate your integrity and your majesty. If the church is never built, you are still God. If the child never comes, you are still God. Listen to me. I show you how to stand on a foundation that no power, no curse, no yoke can stand against. That I find you faithful, oh God, whether I understand what is happening in my life or not. I don't know why my father died. I don't know why I lost my mother. I don't even know why my pastor died. He was coming back from a crusade. Why will a man of God die? But I still count you faithful. I don't know what to say.
Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles on what it is today. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray.
God knows you are human, brothers and sisters.
But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will seek and I will pray. Even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will seek and I will pray. I lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true.
Can you line up all your disappointments to be your audience and then still praise God in the midst of them? Can you line up the house rent? Line up the lack of job, the lack of a child? You are not dancing for a miracle. It's your testimony. You are telling life, I am disgrounded. I am disgrounded. I am disgrounded. No food to eat, but I am disgrounded. And Satan comes to stand close to you like the wife of Job and say, why don't you just curse God? Of what use is being a worker in the house of God when God will keep passing you and blessing strangers? When they will come for miracle service and receive and go back, and you are still a worker and he's acting as if he's not seeing you. Listen, listen. Many believers are not taught that when things don't work and you believe God, it is also faith. Faith is not only when results come. Sometimes faith is why you stand when results don't come. Listen to me. When Jesus hung upon that cross, in spite of the pain on his hand, it took strength and stamina to remain there. The pain did not leave him because he was the Son of God. Because many believers have not been taught that sometimes, listen to me, that sometimes on your path to growth, the weight of what is coming on you will test your foundation. Like a farmer goes to a farm, just because you see blisters on a farmer's hand does not mean he's not healthy. It means he's hardworking. Listen to me. Let your interpretation about life and the dealings of things in your life be corrected tonight. Because there are many of you who are calling God names, whereas heaven is clapping for you, earth is calling you faithless. Whereas heaven is standing at an attention and say, this young lady lost 4 people in 4 months and she's still waking up as usual to pray. Whereas some ignorant person will see you somewhere and say, where is your faith that 4 people are dying? Don't get me wrong. I believe in the blessings of God. But believers must be taught that the solidity, the stability of your foundation is tested when things don't work your way. And you still call him faithful. I heard of a couple, not a recent story, from their wedding, happy. They were on their way to the reception and a truck just came and hit them. And that's how the husband died, with his bow tie right there. It doesn't matter whether it's a curse or it's a charm or it's an arrow, he's dead. What does such a bride do? You will think people will come to comfort her until you start hearing that she's a witch. That's what people will say. Imagine adding on that precious lady's pain. Instead of coming to comfort her, they'll say, we've always known this lady has killed her son. Aye. Life can be cruel. If you don't know your God and you cannot stand alone and praise him alone, if you still need a keyboard and you still need a bass guitar and you still need a music director, your foundation is small. There are times that your pain becomes a writer and it will write songs that only you can understand. Songs that are not supposed to make sense to anybody except you. Uniquely designed to praise God through your pain. I told God, there is nothing in life that will ever come to me that will make me look at God and say, God, why? Kai. Many people see the things that we do and they think it's because of the result God has brought today. No. The results did not come in one day. Can you love God when you don't understand him? Can you love God when you don't hear him? Were you taught that a believer is not just one who receives results? Sometimes a believer is one who stands, not just while he's waiting for results. Read Hebrews 11. Some died without receiving the promise. If you are just going to wait 30 years, it will be okay. But there are people who waited till they died. And the Bible added them and called them elders who obtained. What did they obtain now? Because they died without receiving the promise. We need to teach a generation that God is not an ATM. We need to teach a generation that God is not a politician who is just a job giver. Remember, I'm teaching on growth. There are other aspects coming. We need to teach a generation that God is not just some lobbyist. No, it's God. In the beginning, God. At the end of your life, if I have God, and people just look at them, when people testify and we see what they are saying they got, I got a new job, this is the certificate, we clap and we, somebody will help you and roll on the ground for your own sake. But when people get, say, oh, I was born again, gave my life to Jesus Christ, people just say, oh, congratulations. So you go and join the queue and know what we have been going through. I love you with all my heart. And I'm encouraging you. If you want to stand, there are many questions in your mind now. The answer is what you are hearing. If you really love God beyond certain levels, there will be need to ask that question. Faithful and true. Faithful and true. It's the reason why many preachers cannot go to funerals. What are they going to say? What happens when you have conducted a miracle service and right after that someone dies and you are asked to come and greet the people? Say, Pastor, why did this man die? God is faithful, oh. Even when you do not have answers, God is greater. God is faithful. He's mighty. What I go through or do not go through should never ever be a reason to question His faithfulness. Please sit down. Your foundation. Your foundation. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's tie up this first point. Just the A part. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God does what? Standeth sure. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So when you build on Christ, you will stand sure. Growth systems. I needed to just walk this out with us so that we don't get excited because of the other things that I'm going to be sharing and saying and forget the fact that if your foundation is faulty, you know, let me tell you this. Please look up. Honestly speaking, I get hundreds of text messages every day from people. You can imagine, because of the nature of what I do, people send me text messages from all around just requesting prayer or just letting me know the things happening around their lives. And sometimes I use those text messages to gauge both the level of growth and the spiritual orientation of the people. I am amazed sometimes at how offended people can be over the matters that they think they are trusting God for a miracle for that they have not yet gotten. People have sent all kinds of text messages to my phone abusing both me and God for not getting school fees. See that? Since you can't see him, the one who has clearly said is representing him, you insult me and ask me to help and tell God that you insulted both of us just because school fees did not come. There are people who their panic and the text messages, just because a child falls ill, oh boy, the text messages they write, why is God doing this and that? I'm a giver, I'm a tither. Why is he saying this? And then later on, maybe I'm in a meeting and you are not answering again. You see, this is the kind of thing I'm saying. And God is not faithful and blah, blah. All for that. Solid. When the Shunammite woman's son died, the prophet sent Gehazi. He said, go and find out from that woman. This is a child that is dead already. When she met Gehazi, say, is all well? What did the woman say? All is well. Let me just go and see the prophet. Is there an imagine? No. Don't worry. These are people who have strong foundations. What about Esther Hadassah? I shared with you in one of the days here. The king, there was an emergency. Her man is plotting to destroy the people of God. And then they are asking her, should I grant anything? No, king, please take your time. I just want to prepare a banquet for you. Can you be calm under pressure? It's proof of stability. It's not just a proof of maturity. Some things are more than just age and psychology. It's a reflection of knowledge of God. That my panic, regardless of how I go around it, makes no difference except God built a house. I will labor in vain and stroll around from pillar to post. So my soul find rest. Like something that is missing and you found it. Find rest. Number two, let's hurry up. The excellency of your spiritual foundation is number one. Number two. Now pay attention. We finish handing over everything to the Lord. But that's not all it takes to grow. The second key if you want to grow and grow sustainably, is you have to understand the cosmos. Please write it down. An understanding of this earth and the world system. You will never grow if you do not understand the world that you are living in. The cosmos, this social system. It's not enough to understand God's kingdom alone. You have to understand this world. My God, how many believers are ignorant of the cosmos? We do not understand how this system works, and so we cannot thrive and grow. Jesus prayed a prayer, John chapter 17. We'll read a few scriptures here. Please pay attention and let's learn. John chapter 17, we'll read from verse 15 to 21. 15 to 21. Please look up, everyone. It's projected. This is the prayer of Jesus. How many of you know that when Jesus prays, it will be answered? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Not from evil, from the evil. Next verse. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. Next verse, 221. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. 20. Neither pray I for these alone. This is where you come in now. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. 21. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou sent me. Jesus is praying and he's saying that, Father, I'm keeping them in this system the same way I walk through this system. Their lives will be in the similitude of my experience in this system. Sanctify them, separate them, garrison them on the strength of your word. Your word is truth. Listen to me. There are many things the Bible says about this world. The earth, but the world. The social sphere. Most believers may know God, but they are ignorant about the world system. And many times, back to faulty foundations again, we are taught that once you know God, that's all and that's enough. As important as that is, you need to have intelligence over the world that you live in. The Bible tells us so many things about this cosmos, this social system. Let's look at a few of them. Number one, 1 John chapter 5, write down these scriptures. Please write all of them. Understanding the cosmos, understanding the world system as a spiritual growth system or a kingdom growth system. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 4 and 5. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The world again, overcometh the world. So the world and the system can be overcome. It says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So the Bible tells us that this system can be conquered, that a man can rise above it. It's an information God is giving you. That regardless of how the world is, you have an advantage. There is a provision where the saints can rise above the grip of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, please. It's projected. If you can see it, please let's read together. One to read. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Let me explain to you what he's saying. That means that there is a methodology. There is an approach to life as defined by the cosmos. Are we together now? And that on the strength of your understanding their way of doing things, you may believe you are wise. And the Bible says, compared to God's dimension of wisdom, it is deception. So it says, let him become a fool. It doesn't mean to be void of knowledge and understanding. It means to subscribe to another system that may make you look like a fool based on God's standard, so that you will be truly wise. He tells you this, that the system, the modus operandi of the cosmos is antichrist, is against the operation of the kingdom. John 14:27. After that, we'll go to 1 John 3 and verse 1. John 14:27. Look up, please. Another information Jesus is giving us here. Please look up. Those outside, make sure you're following. He says, peace. Now, he's talking of peace here. I live with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. It says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That means these possibilities exist for as long as you are in this world. The tendency for being perturbed and being in fear is something that will continue. It will attempt to haunt you. But he's saying the antidote to it is that I have routed my peace in some way and I have given it unto you. My peace I give unto you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Don't be tired. You are learning something. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Let's read. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. It says, therefore the world knoweth us not. Why? Because it knew him not. Do you know what this means? God is revealing to you through Apostle John that influence in the world system for a believer doesn't come easy. It is difficult to be known. He says the world knoweth us not. They will not recognize us. It will until they exhaust their options, they will not easily recognize you. So you can be a Christian lecturer and be the best in your department, and the system will continue to ignore you until you do something that makes them to not have a choice. That means every believer recognized by the cosmos, it is because the cosmos did not have an option. This is what he's saying. Jesus was doing a lot of things and they refused to acknowledge it. People will return back with testimonies. I'm a leper, look at my hands. I say, forget about that guy. Nicodemus came and said, Rabbi, we know, we have been studying, we've taken your miracles as a case study, and we know you are a man sent from God. Why didn't they say it in the open? Behold, a man sent from God. Jesus is standing with Barabbas, a thief, and they would allow Barabbas to go and continue harassing as a capon because of how they hated Jesus. He's giving us an information here. The information is not just that we are sons of God alone, but he's telling you that influence in the cosmos, if you are not born again and you refuse to subscribe to God's ways, is easy. So do not be surprised when you are doing a lot of great things as a believer and people refuse to acknowledge you. You are the reason why this company is rising. And if they have to appreciate you, they generalize it. All the staff have been hardworking, you have been serious. But when a non-Christian is there, they isolate the person and so lavishly celebrate the person to offend you. Find comfort. He opened your eyes to see that the world knoweth us not. The word know there means approve, recognize, accredit, celebrate. James chapter 4 and verse 4. God is giving us wisdom. James 4 and verse 4. Look at me. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship? He's giving an information. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, this is an interesting one. Don't be friends. How do you relate? Don't be friends. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So how do you collect your salary? How do you apply for a job? How do you go for a birthday party of a business partner who is an unbeliever, who you have to work together with? That means when a scripture looks obviously wrong, it means you have to look again. Are we together now? The idea of friendship here, listen very carefully, is not relationship. You must understand now. He's not saying to not relate with the world. Friendship here, he's talking of an attachment, a fraternity, with respect to your allegiance, with respect to your values, with respect to the government you submit to. This is the context that James is talking about. Because as you will learn, and you have learned here, that everything multiplies on the basis of relationship. Many believers have erroneously carried this scripture, and they have rejected every good thing in their life. Why? Because the Bible talks of friendship with the world. He's not saying to not love non-Christians. No. He's not saying to not participate in non-Christian activities. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the fact that no matter how you relate with these people, it is important for you to understand that anything that threatens your convictions, your values, and ultimately your allegiance to God is fighting him in your life. Are we together? Two more scriptures and then we'll tie this up. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 7 and 8. I found this scripture and it blessed me so much. 1 Timothy 6 and then 7 and 8. We would have started from 6, but no problem. We'll hurry up because of time. Look at this. Apostle Paul is giving us another information about this world that we need to learn. What's the information? Read with me. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of it. Now, this is a very good information. What is the information? You brought nothing into this world, and on your way out, you are not carrying anything you found here out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now listen very carefully. That means he's trying to tell you that while you interact with the cosmos, that you should be able to prioritize your life in a way and manner that does not allow you forget that all of these things, the cars and the houses, is simply supposed to define your comfort within your stay. Are we together? It's like renting a room in a hotel because you are there for 1 week. If all of a sudden you get so obsessed with the activity of that hotel as if you are not going to leave again, 1 week will clock and you did not even maximize the stay. The purpose of renting the apartment is to allow you either have a meeting or rest or do whatever you have to do. So he's giving you here a mindset of contentment that comes from knowing, it tries to give you the understanding of a pilgrim, that nothing other than God is worth dying for. Are you getting the understanding here now? Yes. So by the time people act as if they would die for money, as if they would die for position, as if they would die for this, this is what they are violating. We brought nothing. There is no child that was born with an ATM. You came out from your mother's womb and said, this is my ATM with my name, I brought it from heaven. No. Nobody came with a key to any house. Nobody came with a Mercedes-Benz key out of his mother's womb. No. When you know this, you can look at certain things in life and just say, let it go. And they say, why? For I brought nothing. This is a revelation that will even help you in giving. You mean you just gave everything away? brought nothing to this world. If I fall down and I die today, even this Bible will not follow me, because it didn't come with me. Every story was written on earth here. That means the one thing I can take out of the earth, I must treasure it. The one thing that I can take out. Believers, let's not live like fools. We must understand the cosmos. Thank God for money. Thank God for cars. And let me tell you this, do not make a mistake of thinking I'm endorsing poverty or failure. Far from it. This teaching was designed to cause you to grow. This is how we grow, by being prepared to lose things. Nothing in this world should so possess you that you cannot lose it. That is a devil and that is a curse. Joshua Selman, the Lord has a need for your car. Let it go. Oh God, it's yours. The Lord has a need for your house. Let it go. The Lord has a need for koinonia. Let it go. The foolish man was a foolish rich man for one reason. He forgot that he did not bring anything. He built barns and said, my soul find rest not in God, find rest. When you find rest in prosperity, you are finished already. When you find rest in certificates, you are finished already. When you find rest in ministry, in power, in anointing, you are finished already. We brought nothing to this world. Please don't live your life over my dead body. This 10 naira, it must come out. Except I will wear my father till. That kind of mindset is the mindset of somebody who does not understand the cosmos. When you know you brought nothing to this world, then you will also know that you must make sure that by the time you are leaving this world, you will leave empty. So why are you holding on to many things? Isn't it amazing that those who are really poor are the ones who are holding on to many things? Their hands are so full, God cannot bless them. Most people think it's blessed people who are greedy and stingy. No. That you don't have the resources are proof that your hands are too full to receive from God. It's those who released everything. He said, now give me your hand, since you released everything. Understanding the cosmos. I promised you two more scriptures. Let's hurry up. John 16 and 33. Now this is a big one. Believers, pay attention. Let's read together. One, to read. These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might find peace. You see peace again. This peace is a very serious thing. In the world ye shall have tribulation. You went to school. What does that mean? Whatever it is, it doesn't mean peace. Are we together? It doesn't matter how you want to, whether it's emotional, whether it's prophetic, whatever it is certainly not peace. Whatever it is the opposite of what God gave you. In this world, you will have tribulation. It says, but be of good cheer. He never said, be of good cheer, the tribulation will not come. There is a system I have provided also to help you overcome. You are not being cheerful just because of nothing. You are being cheerful because there is a system that you can route your victory out of it. Tribulation. I don't know what I did that people don't like me. I'm a nice man of God. I'm a nice businessman. I help people. Oh dear. Welcome to the world of men. Listen, the condition to go through tribulation is that you are alive. It's not even that you are successful. It's that you are what? Alive. I am amazed at how many believers fret. You know, I've shared with you my story years ago. It used to bother me a lot every time I'm misunderstood, and every time people, you know, don't seem to be comfortable with me, I wonder and I say, oh, look at, I'm very sincere, my heart is well-meaning, what is all this nonsense? Until I learned There is a heavy price for greatness. Let me educate you tonight, my brothers and sisters. If you ever believe that just because you are sincere, well-meaning, nice-hearted, wonderful, loving, soft, godly, and then the world will have that regard for you, please wake up. Jesus gave us this information. Welcome to the world. It says you, if you are in the world, if you go out of it, you don't need to worry about this. So whilst you've been praying for long life and God answered, you better learn what will happen while you are living long. You will be amazed to see people who disregard you and will go out of their way to show you you are nothing. Welcome to the world of man. You will be amazed to know how many people will look at your messages and say, this is nonsense. You will be amazed at how many people will see your sacrifice and say, this is nonsense. What is there in having 3 children? What is there in being great? What is there in a PhD? I thought you would think everybody will celebrate you in this life and love you. No. Let me tell you, believers learn this, because you see, as believers, am I boring you tonight? Please learn this. You will need it in your life. You know, most of us as believers, we are surrounded by ourselves. So there is a culture that we grow with for many years. Everybody is wonderful. Even someone who doesn't like you really likes you. You get what I'm saying? So there's nothing like anger and fight. When somebody says, I hate you, it just means you annoyed me now. We are used to that soft, brotherly warmth. And we take that naivety to this strange world of wolves. We'll come to that scripture. You will find out that those that are in this world are not just men. There is a name God gave them, wolves. You study from National Geographic Channel what wolves can do. Wolves are not friends. Do you keep a wolf in your house? If another prophet was speaking, you would think maybe he drank wine like Noah or this. This is Jesus speaking. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Because the moment believers step out of this place, you are sincere. And for the first time, you've been hearing that they hate people. Now you are seeing somebody face to face. I hate you. Period. Why, sir? This is even why I hate you again. And you call Joshua Selman and say, what is this? I thought there's anointing for favor. How is this supposed to work? Ask Mary what favor did to her. Was it not because of favor Mary got into trouble? As soon as Mary was declared to be favored of God, the first thing that hit her was a scandal. Who is the real father of this child? Is it a ghost or a rabbi? See, I'm a virgin. Virgin of where? And the Bible calls that favor. Listen and learn. You will stand in a place where they are giving bribe. Everybody is bribing, and you say, no. No, I love Jesus Christ. There's no collecting bribe. And because of that, someone will look at you face to face and say, you irritate me. Tribulation. Everybody loves you because you are like them. Make money. Get a job. Bring a new car and dance around. And say, brothers and sisters, this is the faithfulness of God. The year of extraordinary fruitfulness. We are just in May. By next week, you will find out that there is now a problem with your shoe. There is now a problem with your worship. Have you been taught that everybody should not like you? Have you been taught that it is okay to be controversial? Have you been taught that just because you are not loved by all, just because there are people who trivialize your value, it does not mean you are valueless? Learn this and be strong on time before ignorance crushes you. Many people will give up their success because of what people are saying. And it's the same people that will run and carry it and say, thank you, it was a strategy. I was hoping you would drop it so I will pick it. Do you know how many people will continue to pray for you to fail when you are successful? They may not be Christians. They stand like the Magi looking at the stars, waiting for the report of your failure. Aye. This is the world we live in. Oh, Jesus is teaching here. Look at how Jesus is celebrated on a crusade ground. And the next thing, he enters a city and people are looking at him. You mean you've not had that leper? This is the guy that healed him. So what? I remember years ago, I don't know if you can remember it, Jimmy. I went for a meeting in Congo. And that was when God really started celebrating me. Everybody was just discerning the grace, and this thing was just working. Everywhere I would go to, people would celebrate me, discern the grace of God, and sincerely honor me. And I went for a meeting in Congo. And I got there, and the people didn't even know who the guy was, really. And one guy just came. I remember one funny guy just came and just pushed me like that, and I just stood. I was looking at him. He may not remember, but Jimmy was, he looked at the guy. Later on, he was passing a comment about it. I said, ah, can you imagine that this guy just came and was pushed? It was later they said, ah, that's the Joshua Selman. He was a man of God, this and that and that. Is it not amazing that you are used to being celebrated until you get somewhere they say, bros, shift. And you're like, whereas somebody say, my daddy, my way maker, my miracle worker. You think everybody will call you King of Kings until you get to places where they will not call you King of Kings. They will call you Beelzebub. And they will say it to your face. If you don't know this about the world, you will die of heart attack. You will hate success because the burden will be too much. You will say, I was better off by myself. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you the funny part. There are people who will now be educated on who you are and say, so what? You would think people would just know that, oh, this is Pastor Alpha, this one. Oh, sorry, you are the one I've been hearing. And say, so what? Well, how did you bring bread for me? What did you? I beg, please. I've had the privilege of meeting certain great men and women of God around the airport. And a few times, especially on my personal trips, I've met with them and I've tried to look for a seat just to come and greet them. And I've been surprised that some of those who were with them in maybe the lodge or wherever did not even recognize them and can push them and say everything. And that person, and you sometimes you can see the offense. You're like, ah, you don't watch TV again, you don't know me, I don't know you, please, I'm looking for my. Let it not surprise you, my brothers and my sisters, when people disregard you. It is part of the things you should expect walking in the world. Don't carry a celebrity mindset and expect everybody to clap for you. You will meet somebody one day who will look at you and rubbish you head to toe. And if you do not have your intrinsic worth that is a derivative of who you know God has made you to be, you may not bless people again. Growth systems. Is someone growing? One last scripture. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. You will thank me for the things that you now learn. You will thank me sincerely. Not today. If you thank me today, you didn't understand what I said. You will thank me when you will need that light in the night. For many of you, this is broad daylight. Just keep it in your archives. The night will come when you will be the youngest manager of your corporation and you will need this message. You will play it again and cry and say, Lord, thank you for preparing me. Behold, now this one, he now didn't say you are in the world. He said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Eat sheep, they don't relate. They eat sheep. When wolves see a sheep, they would tear it into pieces. Because you are a sheep, also be a dove. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. All this is because you are a sheep. Oh. Because you are a sheep, become a snake too. And become a dove. This is an advice. Being a serpent, you are not a serpent. You are not a dove. Borrow the quality of a serpent and a dove to make you an effective sheep. When a sheep must become a serpent and a dove to survive, it's a serious matter. Jesus is advising you. I send you forth as sheep, but your being efficient as a sheep will require you to be both a serpent and a dove. Selah. You mean I must go that far to be a sheep? I must first be a serpent, then I become a dove? Yes, sir. All because my enemy is a wolf. So it takes being a serpent and a dove to overcome a wolf. It doesn't take just knowing how to run. Notice that the serpent is slow, the dove is fast. All of them are required. The serpent looks cunning, intelligent, skilled. The dove is very innocent, many times naive. The purity of conscience. And yet the serpent is not ignorant at all. Serpents don't chase you. They would disguise you, come near, they hit you with their venom and let you to die. They just watch where you die, and then they slowly come to you and swallow you. They make sure that they swallow you where they can hide for a long time till you digest. You will never catch them. You won't see the trace. They don't bring blood out of you. There is no trace. There is no evidence. Other animals will eat and leave the bones. You can trace it back to the mouth and catch it and say, you are the one who ate this. A serpent will finish you and you will not see anything there. And Jesus said, be it to survive. Whoever taught you that just because you are born again, living in the cosmos will just require you to be a nice person. That's why you are not promoted in your office, because you are a sheep alone. And you stood up before your boss and said, I'm a Christian. I won't collect bribe. I stand for Jesus. You are right, but you are not a serpent. You are out. There was a way to have done it, and you called it boldness, but it was not the wisdom that was required. There are many believers who have done what they believe to be zeal. They have done many things that looks like standing for Christ. I remember I had a friend years ago. We're on our way going to Jos. Very zealous, funny friend. And then from nowhere, and they were non-Christians, you know what I'm talking about, real fanatics in that car that can almost slaughter you in a moment. And we're somewhere there, and I was just praying that we arrive safely. And this my friend, who is a sheep that cannot be a serpent, just shouted, praise the Lord. And then the gentleman began to teach, and the way he preached, he began to call, you know, the leader of that religion and all of that, and he called this and was insulting the person and insulting and saying a lot of things. There was silence in that car. I started thinking of which mystery I know. What is the mystery of exemption? What is the key? How did Daniel escape the lions then? When you are a sheep without being a serpent and a dove, you are in trouble. Do you know at the end of it, sincerely, I tell you the truth and I lie not. If I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. They were almost going to pack us in a mosque to slaughter us. The driver started chanting something in anger. And someone seated in the car too started chanting in anger. It's like something you know what I'm talking about. This is an insult. This is that. And he does not even understand how, sir. And then when he finished all that sermon, he said, I have a brother here who will round up with closing prayer. Me. Closing prayer. Hallelujah. Look up, please. Not every death is dying for Christ. Some deaths are the death of a sheep that cannot be a serpent. It took the grace of God for us to arrive just in peace. And I told myself, I will never travel with this guy again. I was not afraid of death. It was you I was seeing. Who would teach you? Hallelujah. How many missionaries should not have died except for the way they approach their sheephood? There are people who just get up and do things anyhow. Listen, you must understand the cosmos to grow. Many of us know God, but we do not know this system. So the diplomacy to navigate this system, we do not have it. Everybody say understanding the world system. Number three, our time is gone. Goodness. I hope you are still following me. The first is your foundation. Second is understanding the world system. The third is you must understand value. I will rush this. We've dealt with this. I want to be able to reach the fourth one. Understanding value. Please look up. If you want to grow spiritually and otherwise in this world, you must understand that your growth, your excelling, will be based on your value. And your value is divided into two. The first is your virtue, and then second, your skill. If all you have is education, listen carefully. If all you have is certificate and you do not have character, you will not rise in this kingdom. There are many educated people who will never rise to managerial levels because they lack virtue. They have transactable skills, but they do not have virtue. We have dealt with this extensively in this house, so I'm not going to dwell so much. Maybe let's just look at two scriptures very quickly. Number one, you know Galatians 5:22. You just write that. Then let's read Colossians chapter 3, please. From verse 12. Colossians chapter 3. I really want us to read. Put on therefore, okay? And then please prepare 1 Kings 7. Put on therefore, look up everybody, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, another word for patience. Next verse. Forbearing one another. These are virtues that you need to possess to be great and to sit at the zenith, the pinnacle of all that God has ordained for you. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. Next verse. Above all this, put on charity. The Bible calls it the bond of perfectness. Let's stop there. Character. Many people have degrees, but they lack character. You must have solid character, the fruit of the Spirit, to be able to rise. There are people today who are employed because of their degrees, but promoted because of their character. When everybody has what you have, your character is what distinguishes you. It may be one of the reasons why many graduates do not have jobs. They have the technical skills, but they don't have the character that can back it. You can't trust them. First Kings chapter 7 from verse 13 to 14. This scripture blessed me. We are now talking of value in terms of skill. We'll read it together, 13 and 14. Everybody read. And King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. 14. He was a widow's son. Who cares? But the Bible is telling you something, that the king sent for a man. He started his life as a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with what? Wisdom and understanding and cunning to work in all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. He started as a widow's son, but skill took him to a point where Solomon said, come and work for me. The Bible captured that information. He was a widow's son. His father taught him, because his father was a craftsman and died. And although a widow's son, his skill bailed him out now to be in the palace. He didn't look for the king. The king, that means every king is searching. You say nobody's looking for me. It's not true. You are not the kind they are looking for. King Solomon sent for Hiram. He said, come, prove your skill, prove your worthiness. Nobody finds a skillful man with character and cannot forgo any other excess to keep that person. It's true. Many believers have character, but they don't have skill. Character is important, but it's not character that turns products into services. It will take skill. Nobody will bring into their company to come and destroy them, and the only thing you are doing is praying. That's important, but they didn't hire you as a prayer warrior. They hired you to be productive, productive, productive. You can tell them everybody who is stealing in the store, no problem, but what result are you producing? Otherwise, you follow those who stole and you go. Your offense is you are not productive. Their offense is that they are thieves. Two of you, the door is open for you to go. Listen to me. Competence will pay you again and again. Let competence be your employer. Give your CV to competence and it will pay you. You will never go on strike once for the rest of your life. Mediocrity will always produce beggars. It's a deception. It looks like you are there, but you are not there. Many preachers love God, but they are not skilled. Many business people are not skilled. Listen to me. Many career people are not skilled. Value, your virtue, your character, that's important, but you must be competent. You want kings to eat your food, you must know how to cook food for kings, not men. You want kings to part, and I hope you know that you have not arrived until kings patronize you. The proof you are successful is when you serve kings, the gatekeepers of the mountains. They are the ones who don't ask how much. No. You rise from the realm of everybody asking how much to men who say you are too useful. I won't let you go. Oh, that will find men and women here who desire to grow. Listen, please do not let anybody trivialize the place of diligence and competence. Being skillful at something, be a master at your field. Ministry is not for lazy people. Ministry is not for people who tried everything and failed and just came and just received the anointing. There is a skill even in the dispensing of the anointing. Preaching has a skill. You try it and find out how many people listen to you. Africa, let's wake up. Our incompetence will continue to whip us again and again. We compare ourselves with ourselves. I am better than this. I am better than that. If you get 10 over 100 and you are the highest, you still failed. You are just the highest of the failures. Listen, you must be competent from a global reference. benchmark yourself globally. Don't benchmark yourself within your territory. Sometimes our territories are so mediocre, we don't have to do much to be that recognized. You're a businessman, know your craft back and forth. You're a career person, tell yourself you will rise to the best. The confidence that knowing a thing gives you is something only God can help you understand. I've met people who know what they are doing. Boy, there is an aura of favor, a compelling presence that competence brings. Make up your mind that you will not stand at the gate of life and be chewing your finger. No, pay the price. Avoid premature manifestation. Sit down. Get something that even kings will give you a right hand of fellowship. They will say, we are great, but you have seen all of us. We have not seen all of you. Welcome. They will welcome you by themselves. You are a tailor, so well. You are a farmer, farm well. You are a public speaker, speak well. You are not the only one there. And you are not going to pay yourself. Respect those who will hear you. Don't talk in a way that only you will understand. Are we together? You are a scholar, don't be lazy. Stretch to the zenith of your profession. Say, I will be competent. Say it. Competence is more than a desire. You must outsource the information that gives you an advantage in your field. You are the best because of the scarcity of what you know. Don't find the things that are general. Find the things only few know. That becomes your edge. Please listen to what I'm telling you. I'm speaking especially to our brothers. You must curse the spirit of laziness and mediocrity from your life. Prayer is no excuse for mediocrity. Mediocres in our world today are those who will beg for bread and they are the ones who will be writing all kinds of stories about successful people because of the pain and the effect that other people's success will cause on them. Make up your mind. I vowed a vow unto God that I will never be a preacher that will have to go back and bury my head in shame. Find out what it takes to excel and give your all and give your best. It may take a while. Don't worry. Conquer pain in your life. Do not ever let pain be an interruption to your success. Pain does not kill. Burn the candles if you need to. Listen to me. Burn the candles if you need to. Wake up in the night if you need to. Buy the books. Take the certifications. Go for the trainings. I can cook for who? Who can pay you? I can sew for who? I have a hotel for who? A restaurant for who? I'm a good preacher. Who can listen to you? Can men of God listen to you? Or is it only those who want to be born again? I'm a keynote public speaker. Who can demand you so much that no price of hosting you becomes too much? Listen, you know you are valuable when no amount placed on you becomes an inconvenience. The moment people begin to compare price and you and say, Kai, is this not a bit too much? Is proof that you have plateaued on your value. Step up. There are people that there is no amount to host them that becomes a waste. Their presence is like the presence of God. 1 hour with them, you must change. You will never be the same. It has nothing to do. Your own is to just make sure you are in contact with them. The excellency of the information they supply you will beat your ignorance to its knees. You will think you are just going to receive one or two things. Oh goodness. In 5 minutes, they will embarrass your pride by making you see how ignorant you are. When you become like such people, Gentiles will come to your light. You hear me challenge you all the time. I will never become a pastor of weak people. I've taught you how to pray and know God, but I want you to be successful. Why must they think about you when they are downsizing? It's a reflection of your value. Be as scarce as gold. The same way people queue in front of a filling station, they are not complaining. The pump does not talk. They need the oil so much. They need the fuel. They will stay from morning till night to fill their tanks and pay you and still tell you thank you. May God make you so valuable in the name of Jesus. Preachers, be so valuable and you will never beg for bread. Your blessings will come from the people you have raised. You are not raising anybody, there is no bread for the future. Listen to me carefully. You are not raising anybody, there is no bread for the future. There are men of God who are recycling the same kind of knowledge. Those who are growing know where they are getting it from. When they are blessed, they will go there. Raise men. When people complain all around and say, why should you know people be blessed? Why should a young man be blessed? Why should what are you saying? When you raise people, they become too grateful to ignore you. Please listen to what I'm teaching you. It's important. Don't sit down and ask, how can I rise? It is valuable people who rise. When you become the delight of many, do you not know there is an aura of beauty that value brings upon your life? You become difficult to ignore. People will overlook anything. Be like water. Be like cold water on a sunny day. How far can you ignore that? The water is not what is suffering. The effect of the sun on you will make you say, how much did you say it is? 150. Why? Because it's cold. You are wicked, oh, but you will still buy it. Pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, make me valuable. Make me valuable, oh God. Take me out of the rat race of life. I need time to serve you and your purposes. You are showing me the growth systems of the kingdom. Take me out of the realm of competition. Let me rise to a dimension that is incontestable, lifted by your grace and lifted by understanding. Is someone praying? God is challenging you. That may be why your ministry is not growing. Your call is not what is in doubt. It's not just an impartation you need. You need to grow. It's more than an impartation. Could that be why your business is not growing? It takes more than sincerity. Champions are not ignorant people. Champions do not have little knowledge. Champions have the knowledge that is an endangered species. Make me skillful, skillful. Hallelujah. Listen, before I go to the last place, our time is gone, but please spare me a few minutes. You need what I'm about to share. This is the highest discussion of all we are going to be discussing today. Before I go there, let me advise you. Always check your result against the level you are going, not against the levels available. When you preach as a man of God, listen to your messages again. Not just to be edified as a sign of humility, but also to learn. Oh, the people were following, but I can discern that I lost them here. Okay, next time, how can I adjust? I think there is a psychology to my communication. I need to know when the people are tired. I need to know when I've exhausted their understanding. My creativity is small. I need to step up on it. Please don't be lazy. Please don't be lazy. In the name of Jesus, sit down. In the name of Jesus, sit down. Get books, write, wake up in the night. Stop snoring your night away. Sit down and learn. Buy the truth. Sell it not. God gave you phones. Go and download or buy apps that can help you. Sit down. Burn the candles while you pray. And you will watch the gates of your destiny open, unhindered by whatever kind of factor you think can hinder it. I made a vow to myself that I will not be small. I shouldn't stand before kings and be ashamed. Do your homework and you will not need to be afraid. Fear is for those who are not prepared. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Take away the shame that incompetence brings. Take away from your life the shame that mediocrity brings. Please receive grace to sit down and do your homework. Sit down and do your homework. Are we blessed? Number four. The last key. This is so powerful. You must understand men. Let me take you to the world of men and teach you a few things. Men. The fourth key to your growth is the understanding of men. You must understand men as a species, as an entity. Please listen. God is giving us wisdom now. Luke chapter 16, the first 8 verses. 9 really, but 8. We'll just stop at the first 8 verses. Profound wisdom. Jesus is teaching again. The rabbi. No wonder he is called. He's not only wise, remarkably intelligent. Jesus is teaching us something to understand men. Are you ready to learn? And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Follow the story. Next verse. And he called him, the rich man now, called his steward and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be a steward. He's about to lose a relationship with a wealthy man. That's dangerous for him. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. So what's going to be the way? Next verse. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Are we together now? Follow the story. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. So you can see the kind of position he was occupying. And said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? 6. Remember, Jesus is the one telling us this story. And he said, 100 measure of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Hi. Write what? And he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take your bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done. I'm glad that I'm not reading from one zodiac book. This is your Bible, you have it. And the children of this world are in their generation, talk to me, wiser than the children of light. That's the message. The morale is not his approach. The morale was his idea. The method was wrong. The wisdom was not how he did it. The wisdom was the fortitude to understand that I'm about to lose something, but I've not lost it if I have relationships. So he said, whatever I can do very quickly, because the secret to my continuity is in the hands of men. If I lose one man and I gain his friends, I still have him. Listen carefully. And he was commended as being wise. His dubious attitude was not the wisdom. The discernment to connect with people and use what is a representation of favor. God told us what to do. The moment you have opportunity, use opportunity to build relationships. You preserve opportunities by investing opportunities in relationships. Listen carefully. You must understand the world of men. Woe betides anybody who does not understand men. Your wealth is stored in men. Your lifting depends on men. Your increase depends on men, not just God. If you know God and you don't know men, you will still stay small. Understand men, growth systems. Let me teach you three dimensions of understanding men very quickly. Number one, learn the expected behaviors for every environment. It's called the law of protocol. You are learning wisdom that will change your life. Some of you will begin to apply it from this night. Every environment has a system of protocol, has an expected behavior. You are not qualified to remain in that environment until you study the protocol of environment. You go to preach in a church, learn the expected behavior. You enter a house, learn the expected behavior. You stand before a great man who can bless you. Before you get to him, understand the protocol. Many believers are ignorant of the expected behavior, and they step into certain circles and step out. There are preachers that have gone to certain churches to preach, and they did not understand the expected behavior. They preach well, but they will never go back to those circles again. Is God blessing us? In Jewish days, when you came to someone's house from a long journey, you were never allowed to enter with a dusty feet. You would stand outside, and their way of honoring you was that they had men servants who would come with water and oil and a sponge. They would wash your feet and clean it with toil as a proof of honor. And then you are now authorized to get into the place to stay. It's a principle. Many people do not know expected behavior. You meet a wealthy man and they tell you, this is a millionaire. And he says, sir, anything for the boys? Sorry, yo. He will give you something, but you lost a relationship. What he gave you will finish. Because you just showed him that what he has is greater than him in your eyes. And he said, you have it and go. Everybody say expected behavior. You can't be going for a job interview and dress as if you are going to a movie theater. There is a persona. There is a protocol. This our ignorant generation. We don't have regard for these things. You're going to submit a proposal for a business that is worth 100 million naira. And you enter with palms and a shirt that is a bit torn and say, I'm a free person. You are out. No right thinking person born of a woman and trained under an intelligent system will host you. I've taught you that appearance is the seed for acceptance. You minimize controversy when you appear well. Understanding men. I'm teaching you growth systems. Listen, you must understand the diplomacy of managing greatness. Diplomacy is not compromise. You will have the opportunity to stand near great people who will bless you, who are not born again. They may be vulgar in their communication. They may even be sarcastic. You can stand near a man as a married woman who is a wealthy man but has no regard for family, and he can be explicit even in his talk. You don't just look at him and say, see, I'm a child of God, I'm a daughter of Zion. Take it easy. There are some times that your answer should be with your body, not your mouth. Your body language can speak. It's very important. I have one of the blessings that God gave me is the intelligence to understand atmosphere. You must be of quick discernment to understand atmosphere. I taught you this. Esther knew the right time to talk. There are wives who never receive from their husbands because they don't know when to ask. Any time is not the right time. Me, I say my mind, that's how I am. That's why you are where you are. Those who say their mind have been receiving a lot of things. Unfavorable, most of them. There were times Jesus kept quiet, even when he had what to say. Then he would say, okay, he who does not have stone, have sin, cast the first stone. There are times that Jesus looks at a man and he's about to leave his crusade to follow one man. Jesus, have you started worshiping men? A centurion comes to you and you say, no, don't worry. I know that I'm praying for the rest, but I will honor you. Wow. And yet he's no respecter of persons. He looks at a short and a little man called Zacchaeus, who climbs a tree and has a lot of regard for his sacrifice and his honor. And he says, Zacchaeus, you have dishonored yourself too much to honor me. Please come down. It's your house I'm going to. I must reciprocate this. I want to build a relationship with you. There are people whose interest I must protect. You represent a gate. Let's go. Your house is worth a crusade. Let's go. And Zacchaeus by himself, instead of Jesus on the tree saying, I will see you, but will you forgive this guy? He said, let's go to your house. That honor alone made him say, I will forgive these people. Bank people are very wise. Sometimes when they want to come and ask you to open an account with them and you're a big person, they don't just send you a text. They visit you. Say, how are you? Your birthday? It was yesterday. Say, no, it was last week. Oh, last week. So how are you? How is everything? The weather is hot. They are wise. Expected behavior. By yourself, you will start asking them, so how is the service? Is it beautiful? We are doing absolutely well. In fact, there's no other time in the history of the bank that we have been this nice. You say, you mean it? Yes. In fact, we were hoping, since you brought the issue, let's talk. That's why they came up, and they are making it look as if it's a side talk. Many believers are not diplomatic. There are times you don't ask by asking. You ask by doing what is equivalent to asking.
Oh, your lifting has come. Oh, your lifting has come. Oh, your rising has come.
So to understand men, you must understand the protocol of every system. Learn it. I've taught you that adaptation is the proof of honor. Adaptation does not always mean compromise. There are times you have to receive grace to bend, to create positive perceptions. Number two, you want to understand men, gain mastery over words. Gain mastery over words. Proverbs 16 verse 24. Any man in this generation who does not understand the power of words and how to use it to your advantage, you will destroy yourself and destroy important relationships. Words. Read with me. Proverbs 16:24. One to read. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Who runs away from this? Pleasantness to your soul, pleasantness to your body. Words. When you watch Scottish films and all of that, the kings had these orators, right, that worked with them in the palace. Every time they had a delegation, I mean, those guys were poets like Shakespeare. They would bamboozle you with intelligence. They will conjure words and just keep you spellbound. And at the end, you see people clapping. And they want to give the king gifts. And they want to honor that nation. Words are powerful. Words convey thoughts. Words create perceptions. Master words. You want to master men, master words. Otherwise, you can make your good be evil spoken of. Words are important. Words are important to great men. They have developed their minds to be philosophical. They analyze words. Mean men don't have value for words. Anything, they don't think. But wealthy people think. You give them a document, they will look at it intricately. A poor man will just sign and say, "Where is the money?" A rich man will say, no. Why is this clause this way? God calls himself the Word. He knows how to speak. He knows what to say for your life to change. Listen to me. Words are very important. Proverbs 18:20. I have seen people amass fortunes because they have mastered words. A man's belly shall be satisfied not with what he buys in the market, with the fruits of his mouth and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. There is a relationship between poverty and words. There is a relationship between prosperity and words. And it's not just limited to confessions. Understand, people. I've taught you this. Always preserve honor in your words. The psychology of communication. That the highest need, psychological need of any man on earth, I will drum this till you understand, is the need to feel loved, the need to feel valued, the need to feel important. Never forget that, and you will gain the heart of kings. I've had the privilege to talk to people on behalf of others. And some of those people hitherto had vowed to never provide certain help or certain things. But a 5 minutes conversation changed their entire minds. And they were more willing to even do the things that they did not want to do. Can you change a man's mind with words? If you cannot, you are not a master of words. Not deception, not lies. That a couple, a marriage that is about to break, and you use words to create perceptions in both of them, and they are back. Words translate a man from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear son. Words are that powerful. One word correctly spoken can give you a contract of millions. One word wrongly spoken can destroy you. I'm not just talking about grammatical accuracy. I'm talking about the understanding that words paint pictures. Words create perception. How are you, Pastor Alpha? Well done. Let me touch your small nose. You say you are joking. This is a man you are looking for help from. You intended to crack a joke, but you just lost your job. Words. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I speak like a child. Listen to me. Please master words. Master words. Know how to talk to people. There are times that your communication will require you to be agreeable. There are times that you will need to stand in the position and speak from a position of weakness to be the strong one. There are times you need to be weak to be strong. Strength does not always come as strength. Many times it is weakness that becomes strength. Words. I've taught you a lot of words. Words such as salutation, just greeting people alone. For some of you, you have lost favor because you cannot greet people. You tell everybody how far, including your destiny helper. You enter an office and you are seeing people almost as if they are worshiping a god. And you say, bros, how far? Say, it's the manager. Oh, sorry, manager, how far? And they say, go out. Are you here for the interview? Say, yes, I'm a graduate of, say, whatever. While you are talking, go out. Psychology. You match somebody. Sorry. Words. You thought you just apologized? No. Why do you have to employ MCs and people to conduct a meeting? Why don't just pick somebody and say, come and conduct this wedding? What do the MCs know? Words. Someone who never planned to give 10 naira simply because he was honored, he will stand up and say, on behalf of myself and my wife, they agreed on 200,000. He said, we hereby give 1.2. And the wife is looking at you. This kind of honor is not for two. I won't disgrace myself here. You didn't ask him for money. You use words to do something that a charm cannot do to his ATM. Have your words brought you wealth? Have your words brought you open doors? Have your words given you things you didn't work for? Was it not because of what you said that doors closed against you? What you said to God, what you said to men. Daddy, let me tell you something. I've been watching you every day. Just because you are my father, don't think I respect you. I will lock you up. Me, yes, your son. And he looks at you and says, no problem. The day somebody comes and says, the Lord is putting it in my heart to help somebody in this house. He said, there's a house help. She just finished her ND. Help her. I said, I thought you have a master son over my dead body. Rather, give me the work in my old age. I'm retired, but I will work on contract. I will never watch you give this stupid son work. If he insults me poor, he will kill me when he's rich. Words create memories. Words create memories. When people remember you, it is important for them to remember peace, to remember love. That's why business people go through the rigor of training themselves on how to talk. There are so many business people in this ministry. People call Ejimi the apostle of wealth. Is the king of the industry. You don't sell by intention. There is a science to it. Can I make you like me? Yes. Can I make you hate me? Yes. Can I make you give to me? Yes. I'm not talking of manipulation. There are people who use words like a chain and casted a, permit me to use the word, spell on people. They fish their destiny helpers with words. And while they left, the helpers followed them. What are you doing? I'm following you. Why? Words. A word spoken in due season. You may speak good English and speak nonsense psychology. Words. Please learn this. Some of you need to go back and find the 5 or 10 people who have the power to be used by God to change your life. Start doing something with words. uncle, just to bless you and to say good evening, sir. It's been a while that I kept in touch. I sincerely apologize. God has been faithful. I honor you. Thank you so much. I know you are busy. I will be glad to call whenever you allow me to. You see that statement? You now look like a fool. The man will say, this man knows I'm busy. He will call you by himself. You never say, instead of uncle, how far? You are my only uncle. What did my father tell you before he died? Those kinds of statements, you will keep authorizing demons and darkness to punish you. Words are powerful. Your father and one uncle somewhere is fighting, and you are supposed to come in. Uncle, what happened? Question mark. Who are you? You are a child among the elderly people? No. Good afternoon, sir. I sincerely hope you are not offended that I'm even reaching you. I know I shouldn't be doing this. It is in no way to communicate dishonor. I understand that you and daddy may not have been, not fighting, may not have been at the best of state. And if it will ever make any meaning, I'm joining my knees and my hand on the ground to plead for the family. I know many of you are embarrassed and say, me to subject? That's why you are poor. That's why you are poor. What are you proud of if you don't have what you are looking for? What do you think being great is? It's a combination of keys. Let me tell you what will happen. The uncle will not reply you. That's a proof that he has received what you have said. That's how men process things. Women will respond, thank you. Men don't act like that. Men think. They will delete it because it's already in their mind. And think through it. Wow, this young man. What can I do for him? The day they see you, they will act as if you are not the one. But one day, when the light of God's favor will shine on you, they will say, I remember when this guy was 14 years old. I was having a challenge with the uncle. Can you imagine that this small boy wrote a nice letter and he said, uncle, I'm 41. Say, you think I forgot it? They want to sack you from somewhere. The uncle will say, kill me before you sack this boy. Listen, let me teach you this. If you understand words, you can be everywhere. Where you are not, your word is there for you. Are you blessed? Don't just treat great people, treat everybody. Words. Verse 18. I really apologize, our time is gone. We're going to round up now. But you will thank me, like I said. You may not thank me after the service. Some of you will receive instant testimonies from this. Just this, that you understand men. You've been fired from your workplace and you just construct a letter or a text and sincerely apologize to your boss. And that man is ready to receive you and even promote you. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Speaking about words, this is what words can do. They can be so destructive. There are times the way to speak is to say nothing. That's how you speak. I'm just imagining the results that will come out of your life when you start engaging these things. Let me tell you, there is no power that can stop this from working. It's true. Every man is weak to words when they are right. Every man, including God. Was it not Moses that said, God, please calm down. Don't let them think that you brought the nation of Israel out and you didn't have the power to take them into the promised land. And God repented. God repented. This looks like small keys, but the wonders that these keys work in your life. Words. 2 minutes. The last key to understanding men is understanding the power of endorsement. Please write it down. You will never rise beyond certain levels until a credible voice can endorse you. Please learn this. Please learn this. Endorsements are powerful. Man of God, you remain where you are in spite of the growth of the anointing until a credible voice can speak for you. Endorsements are powerful. You may not have access to the gate. So value everyone you know who is already at the gate, because their recommendation, their referrals, their endorsement. I may not trust you, but I trust the person who spoke about you. I have been blessed by the recommendation and the endorsement of people. When you see gatekeepers, don't ignore them. Value the endorsement of great men. It took a lot of sacrifice for their voices to be heard. Don't think you will push them aside. There are many young preachers who believe they can push any other man of God and just stand and gain a voice. Keep going, save journey, until you know that men are not that fragile. Before they listen to you, they will look at the person they listen to. What does he have to say about you? There are many churches, before I come, they ask questions. Who knows Apostle? Who has listened to him? And then usually, one influential person will raise his hand and say, ah, my son, I've not listened to him, but I overheard my son's life has changed. Please let that man come immediately. Every church meeting is over. Bring Apostle. You would have been doing business with kings if the right voice spoke to you. John had to endorse Jesus. He didn't just ordain him, he endorsed him. If there is nobody who can speak into your life, not just in terms of prophesying, but to give a good word, you can easily get a job when someone speaks for you. Hello, please. I know that they are collecting this oil company people, please. Yes, that lady, number 76, please. She's my daughter, eh? Please, please, please. Don't worry, we'll talk later on. And that's it. You have gotten the job. Whereas someone else is saying, Father, help me. The angel of the Lord keeps hovering around his breakthrough, but there's no man to use. Because he ignored he prayed, and his prayer brought angels, but he ignored men. So there is nobody to speak for him. Number 24, who knows him? Nobody. Please remove him and give number 77. Because three people have called for his sake. The same thing with men of God. Do you know it's a terrible thing if you don't have men who can rise for you? I don't mean sycophants. Nobody to defend what you represent. Nobody to stand up and advocate for you. There are parents who don't have anybody speaking for them. The only person who can speak for them is their children. They didn't raise anybody today who can speak for them. There are times you are not the one holding the rod, but you can hold the hands of the person holding the rod so that they can speak and say, if you ever need somebody to hold a hand, this person. There are times that I have been called. You may not know, but some of the students who graduate and are serving NCCF and all of this, sometimes I get text messages from the leaders who are interviewing new people, and they say, Apostle, please, we interviewed so-so-so. He said he's a member of Koinonia. What do you have to say about him? We are considering making him this, this, and that. And sometimes I say, with all pleasure. He was effective. He was useful. That's it. You don't have to know. The same way right now, while you are seated here, the angel of favor is at the ears of your helper. But because you did not connect with them, you didn't leave memories that will compel them to reciprocate kindness. That you continue to plant yourself in the hearts of people through honor. Plant yourself in the heart of gatekeepers. Everybody who thinks about who to help is thinking about you. You will never go down that way. No. There are people who have eaten from your hands today who will never allow anybody speak evil of you. You have become part of them. Preachers, learn this. Business people, learn this. We are going to pray. We've stretched you today, and I sincerely and truly apologize. But I give you one guarantee. You will see fruitfulness in ways that will surprise you.
Megima.
Please rise up on your feet.
Megima. Babu. One kamara kai. Babu.
One more time and we're done.
Make him my.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio.
And download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853.